Look, we all know that we need really good content in order to be successful with our marketing right now on today's internet. However, so many of us are still really bad at it. So I don't know about you, but I personally learn from seeing. I'm a visual learner. I learn from context. So in this video, what I decided to do is go out and round up 10 amazing examples of content marketing in the B2B lead generation SaaS space and present it to you and break each piece down so you understand exactly why it's great content and how you can replicate it for your own campaigns. Let's get into it. So as promised, what I've done is I've gone out and I found 10 examples of great B2B content marketing examples. And the reason why I made this about B2B and not e-commerce specifically is because e-commerce content is very much different than B2B content. B2B content is much more long form, it's much more thought leader-ish, it's much chunkier, and there's so many nuances within that, whereas e-commerce is a little bit more high level, a lot more roundups, a lot more best products for summer, etc. So I'm choosing to focus on B2B mainly because our agency focuses mainly on B2B and SaaS companies where this type of content is so hard to do because it's not a matter of just putting together a list of keywords and then writing content. You've really got to have that authoritativeness and you've got to have the context for what that person is looking for in order to get people to actually consume the content. So I've got this deck prepared for you all. I'm going to go through each piece of content and explain exactly why I like it and how you can replicate it for your own business. So the first one up here, this is from the Blueprint Training. Yes, I'm a little bit biased. This is one of my businesses. However, I feel like we're some of the best in the world when it comes to B2B content marketing. So I've got these each titled, right? So the first one here, I call this the custom template or tool piece. And the reason why I love this type of content for B2B is anytime that you can create something that's engaging, that's interactive, a tool or a template that helps your prospects solve your problems, it's a huge win because not only can you use that as a gated piece of content to grab an email address or even as a much more aggressive offer to get them to book a call, we actually do this with this offer that I'm about to show you in a second. It also satisfies a lot of search intent. A lot of people are searching for free tools, free templates around the problems that they might be having if your business can solve those problems. So this article in particular is about a tool that we built that helps agencies to predict the results of an SEO campaign using a prospect's data before it happens. Now, why is this so impactful? Well, because we identified a huge problem in the SEO industry for agencies when it comes to their prospects is forecasting. It's really hard to close a deal if you don't know what type of results that you're selling to the other person. Like, how can you get to invest $100,000 into a campaign if they don't know what they're going to get in return? So what we decided to do is we decided to build a template that runs in Google Data Studio and Google Sheets that pulls in data from a prospect's analytics account and then runs a bunch of growth forecasts and then predicts the results of what an SEO campaign would look like based on that website's data. And this was a massively hit piece for us, a huge piece of value. Not only does it rank very well in organic search, and we get leads that come in all the time for people looking for how to predict the results of an SEO campaign, but this is actually our top offer when it comes to sales. So what we've done is we've actually gated this at first with an email saying, hey, give us your email, you'll get access to this tool. But then what we decided to do is we decided to say, okay, instead of that, this is so valuable that now we're booking sales calls off of the back of this to show people how this works. And when it comes to the actual content of this piece, we have a free blog post that literally just goes through and it breaks down everything that's in it. We're not overly focused on keywords and hitting this and that. All we're really trying to do is just show the value of the tool and the template and give the prospect, give the lead, give the visitor to the website so much value and give them what they came for, which is literally a tool that helps them predict it. And then by the end of it, if we have convinced them that this tool is good enough for them, then we just have a link here to talk to sales. They book a call and we show them the tool and then we try and sell them into our program. This works incredibly well for any company in the B2B space. Again, if you understand what your customers' problems are and what they're searching for, and if that lends very well to templates or tool type searches, you can hack stuff together in Google Sheets. You can hack stuff together in slides or docs. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. It doesn't have to be an actual tool. It just has to help them solve that problem. And it can be literally just a list of templates or a list of tools, whatever that may be. It doesn't have to be something that you invest a lot of money into. So that was example number one, the custom template or tool piece. Number two is the data-driven case study. So the reason why I love this and why this works so well is because when it comes to creating content, you should draw a line in the sand. You have to have an opinion. Because if you're just all over the place or you don't pick a side, then nobody's really going to engage with it or care or get any emotion out of that person to get them to even read the article. And the reason why I love data-driven case studies is that you can't really argue with data. It allows you to literally pick a side based on the data and argue for that point. And what this does is it removes the rebuttals from your audience and supports your point of view. And that point of view, of course, should drive towards what you're selling. These articles also pick up a ton of links because when you cite data, when you have data, especially when it's original data, and other people are looking for ways to bolster their arguments, and they're going to link back to your article as citation showing the data piece. These types of articles are also great for clickbait, for social media posts, and for ads and for emails. Again, people love data because it's an irrefutable source of information that can prove one point or another. So the example that I have here is from Ahrefs, an SEO tool, by far and away one of the best content marketing programs in the world when it comes to B2B and especially SaaS. What they've done here is they put together an article that talks about the percentage of content that actually gets traffic from Google. And this is important because they're an SEO tool. They help people create content and that actually help people get visibility to their content. So basically what they're saying is that if you create 100 pieces of content, probably only 10% of those are going to get seen unless you do X, Y, and Z. So they're using this data to grab attention. They're using this data to build an argument, and they're using this to support their point of view and, of course, their tool. And this is amazing from them because they get all this data originally from their own tool. They commission their own studies. That's why these crush so well. And the amount of links and traffic that this article has picked up is actually insane. So while this topic might not have a ton of search volume, right? If you're looking at this from an SEO point of view, we're like, oh, nobody's searching for that. It doesn't matter because this post in itself picked up so many links that it bolsters the rest of the stuff around it. On top of that, this is great content for social media. This is a great piece to run as top funnel on Facebook ads to just bring people into your ecosystem and get more traffic to your website. So number three is the thought leadership piece. Now, this can be difficult to do. Sometimes you have to kind of have the posture in order to put this together, but this is a great piece to build rapport, to show your honest side, something a little bit more introspective to your audience. If you're just constantly pumping out articles that are a little bit dry, this really gives you a chance to show your personality and also your insight and also your opinion, right? I talked a little bit about opinion before. Opinion is really important in content marketing because, again, it allows you to draw a line in the sand. If you have no opinion and you're not arguing for or against something in any content marketing, people just aren't going to pay attention. So whether that's controversial or not, or how you feel about that or not, doesn't really matter to me. It's a fact. You have to draw a line in the sand. Now, I'm not telling you to go all political, this way or that, talk about abortions or something like that. I'm talking about as it pertains to your business and to your content and to your audience. So you go back to that example from Ahrefs about the content marketing. They're basically saying, yo, like you're creating all this content and that's not getting seen. That's a line in the sand. That's a controversial point of view. And then they're using the data to support it. When it comes to the thought leadership stuff, it's great to tell your story or it's great to take your opinion on something. You know, I use one over at our company, the Blueprint Training, all the time where I say something like the traditional agency model is dead. Basically, that's a pretty big and bold opinion. And then I support it with my argument, right? And this type of piece, this thought leadership piece, is distinctly different from the other types of contents that we have in here. It's very much so opinion-based. It's very much so based on your personal story, based on your personal past, based on your experience running your business. Now, again, does this have a lot of SEO value? No, it really doesn't. That's why this is published on Medium. But again, this has a tremendous amount of social value, a tremendous amount of sharing value, and also a tremendous amount of, again, connection with an audience piece. These are types of pieces that if people see quite a bit of them, they really connect and resonate with you and you're actually building an audience. Because when you're doing something just like I'm doing now, top 10 pieces of B2B content, it doesn't really, you're not going to really connect with me too much as much as you're going to connect with the content per se, right? But a piece like this, where you really get my opinion, you really get to know who I am, it's much different. This is a great piece if you're trying to build thought leadership. This is a great type of piece of content to put on LinkedIn, to put on your personal blog, whatever that may look like, right? This might not be the best one to get customers, but you want to mix up your stuff. It's kind of like being a pitcher in baseball, right? You want to have a couple of different pitches in your bag. You don't want to just do the same thing over and over again because there's no personality in that. And people lend to people, they lend to opinions, and they want to identify and resonate with people. So this is great if you've got a great story to tell. If you've got a really strong opinion about something that you've seen, you want to argue for or against it, the thought leadership piece type works very, very well. Lo and behold, number four, here's what we got, the controversial stance piece. Now, again, I'm a little bit biased. This is from our agency's personal website, but I love doing types of pieces like this where you literally draw a line in the sand and you argue for or against, mainly against, a popular stance, right? So in this case, the popular stance is technical SEO is incredibly important. Now, if you read the article, I don't say that technical SEO is stupid and don't do it. What I say is I argue against the scope of what people are pitching for technical SEO, basically saying that like most of technical SEO is kind of a waste. Just like in that piece from Ahrefs where they say most of your content is waste, I say most of technical SEO is a waste. So basically, this article just goes through and gives a very kind of strong opening statement about why we feel like most technical SEO is a waste of time and energy. And then we go through and we give a solution, a better solution, how we actually do it. A little chart here, right? So this is a very long form piece, again, that really builds a very strong argument. It cites a lot of sources about what actually works in technical SEO. Then we go into the audit that we built for it. And then we go into seven technical SEO items that actually drive results, right? So that's really the core of this article here, right? So we're not saying that technical SEO is stupid, but we're saying that the way that you're doing it is a waste of time. Here's a better way to do it. So again, We are presenting the argument. We're agitating them a little bit. We're poking them to get them a little bit ruffled up to keep them reading. And again, I'm not going personally here with people. There's no personal attacks in here. Some people take things super personal. They get a little bit butthurt around things like SEO, but I love doing that. I love to poke the bear a little bit and present a different type of argument. And this has been a very successful piece for us. We actually get quite a bit of clients from this because a lot of prospects see this and they're like, yeah, no, I agree. Like, I'm tired of paying agencies to just sit there and run like a spreadsheet for us when I know that they don't need to, that they're just billing us for work that they don't need to do. So we're going against the grain. And while it seems like we might be selling against ourselves, we're actually doing the opposite. We don't want people to come into our agency that want us to do like a 4,000 line spreadsheet because we don't like doing that work and it doesn't drive business results. We want people that are like-minded to work with us. We want people that are aligned with our vision, our goals, and the way that we do business. And that's why the controversial piece works so well, because it draws a line in the sand, right? And it attracts people to you that you want to come into your business and your ecosystem, become prospects and actually work and have a partnership with them. And it repels people who would potentially be bad clients and bad prospects. If you try and please everyone, you just can't. And you're ultimately going to bring in people that are not a good fit to be partners with you. And that's not a personal thing. It's really just a way of doing business. Everyone has a different way of doing business. We have our way of doing it. Other people have other ways. We want to work with people who are like-minded and really align with our vision in the way that we communicate and the way that we offer our services. Number five is the coin term piece. This is something that the first one that always comes to mind is Brian Deem, the skyscraper technique, right? Where you're basically, you have a process, you have a way of solving a problem for your customer, and you basically slap your own name on top of it because it's a process or a tool or a template or whatever that you identified, right? It could be a framework, it could be a process, things along that nature. This is something, again, that I really, really love to build yourself as a thought leader, also to attract people in. Again, something to get to keep in mind here as I keep going through this, you know, I'm doing this from the YouTube channel of an SEO agency, right? But a lot of these types of pieces don't really have SEO value. When you're coining your own term, people aren't going to be searching for that. Like when Brian Deem came up with the skyscraper method, people weren't searching for it. But what he did is he built that into something that people eventually started searching for. And now everyone credits him as the owner of that tactic and that technique. It's incredibly, incredibly powerful. So the example that I have here is from a company called Customer Camp. Really, really love this business, love their positioning, love their content, really well marketed company. Don't know about their operations, but everything I see from the front end, I really love. And basically this article is all about what they call buying triggers, right? So basically they're building an argument, again, going back to this argument and this opinion, that the current way of looking at how people buy is outdated. And they came up with this term, buying triggers, and they basically use this article to just go through and explain it and really bolster it with a ton of different examples to really support their argument. We've done this before. We have something at the Blueprint Training we call the BT3 framework. It's a framework that we develop that helps agencies grow and scale. It's a three-pillar process. We do this at our agency right now. We target a lot of SaaS companies. We work with SaaS companies. We've got this jobs to be done content framework that we're coining. We're running a lot of ads to market it. We're doing webinars. We're doing lives. We're really trying to coin ourselves to have people come to us and be like, yeah, like I love this framework. And now we want people searching for it. We want people telling about it. We want them to credit us as the founder, as the originator of it. It's something that's really, really hard to do. It requires a ton of marketing. It requires a ton of push and promotion to get this content in front of people. But man, I'm telling you, if it's worth it, if you can really pull this off, you now have people coming to you, sole sourcing you as a business to be like, we want you to run this for us. We don't care about anything else in the market. We want you to do the buying triggers exercise for us. We want you to do the jobs to be done framework with us. Another one that comes to mind is Boston Consulting Group. They came up with this quadrant, literally the simplest thing ever. And they've made billions of dollars off of it, right? They've coined that as their own and companies have come to them and are paying them millions of dollars for them to run that framework on their business. And it starts with something like this. So number six on the list is the results-driven case study. I've got an example of Siege Media here, really amazing agency run by Ross Hudgens, super nice guy, super smart. Really built an amazing company where they do content-focused SEO, right? And the reason why I include this one in here is because for all B2B companies, showcasing your results is incredibly important. Now, you could just do the traditional case study look, but it's a little bit boring, it's a little bit overdone, and people don't really see them. But when you format them as a blog post and you format it as value to the person reading it, it doesn't come off as boisterous. It comes off as, hey, we have a really good tactic that we want to share with you. Oh, by the way, it's worked for our client with X results. That's why you should keep reading this article. So when we take a look at this article, what we see here is how to increase website traffic by 250K monthly visits. And then I love this. They go in and they say the number is actually larger, but we knew that you wouldn't believe us if we stated that. And then they give the social proof. They show this. This is an amazing case study. But then what they do is they go through and they really just teach you about what they're doing. They're not being like, hey, this is about our client. This is about us. It's about the tactics. It's about the process. And they're going through and they're really sharing a lot of value here But again, if you're coming here and reading this and you're like, oh, damn, like I want you to do this for us, but you're not coming in here. Like, for example, if you take this and they were like, hey, this is a case study of how we helped, you know, Ryan Stewart get 250K more visits. You'd be like, eh, okay, maybe. I don't really care about Ryan. I don't know who he is. There's no relation. But if you frame it as, here's how you can get 250,000 visits. Oh, by the way, this is who we've done it for. This is why you should believe us. This is why you should listen. This is why you should pay attention to what we're saying, because it works. That subconscious angle not only works better to sell because you're doing it, again, kind of subconsciously, but it attracts so many more people to it because it's not a narrow focus thing where it's about you as an agency. It's actually about them as the consumer, as the customer, as a visitor who wants the same problem solved. So number seven on the list is what I call the proper expert roundup. Now, I don't know what happened a couple of years ago, but all of a sudden the expert roundup went crazy viral. And essentially an expert roundup is where the author goes out and just asks for a quote from like 50 to 100 different quote unquote experts. This got spammed out, just like anything in marketing got spammed out. And what ended up happening was nobody ended up caring about these articles because they had like 100 people who weren't really experts. The questions were just kind of beaten to death. And the reason why people were doing them was because they ranked very well. So for example, if you went and said like, you know, if you wanted to rank for the keyword SEO tips, it's like, okay, I could write my own SEO tips, or I could go out and just email 100 SEO experts and ask them for their one best tip and then format it into a long form listicle article. They were ranking really well for a while, but I think people picked up and realized that they're bullshit articles and they didn't do very well. However, the concept of bringing in experts to support an argument is very valid. It's what reporters have been doing forever. It's literally the only way that you can build any sort of real research or journalistic piece. It's by going out and getting sources and getting them to contribute to your content to support the argument that you want to make. So the article that I've selected here is from Brendan Hufford. And again, Brendan is an incredibly good content marketer. He actually helps us out over at the Blueprint Training quite a bit. And the argument that he's bolstering here is why ranking for SEO trophy keywords is a colossal waste of time. And instead of just making the argument on his own, what he does is he goes out and he brings in, so he voices his own stuff, but he goes out and he also brings in quotes from other experts out there to support this, right? People that are not just random folks, but people whose names are recognizable, people who, when you see it, actually lends value to the article. It's not just a bunch of random people. So the people who are reading this article, right, the people who care about this topic being, you know, going after basically like huge keywords as a part of their SEO tactics, when they see people who are reputable in this space supporting this argument, then it actually will convince them to come to your side, right? So this is how you do expert roundups. You don't just go out and interview a bunch of random people. You go out and you get interviews and you get quotes from people who actually hold weight in that space that are going to support your opinion. So stop the nonsense with these like 100 experts roundups. Nobody cares, and most of the people aren't their experts. Build an argument and then go get quotes from specific people, 3 to 5 people who can help support your argument, really help bolster it, and sway people, right? Sway people, move them into what you want them to do, which again, now Brendan has people coming into him saying, okay, I agree with this and I want you to help me with your strategy because I value your opinion because you have now convinced me that this is the right way to do it. So number 8 on the list is the current events piece. And I chose a piece here from SparkTower, Rand Fishing, because Rand, you know, probably one of the best content marketers, SEOs in the game and has been for a very long time. Rand is also very open, which I love. He's very, very open about his opinion, not just on business, but on personal things, on politics. He uses his platform to get his voice out there for what he believes in, which I love and respect. Now, again, this could also probably be considered a controversial piece, but his methodical use of data and research really, again, reduces that level of argument and becomes a little more black and white that this is not an opinion-based piece. This is data. This is facts. This is actually what's happening, right? People are actually being moved by marketing instead of the actual issues that are at hand. Right? People are very susceptible, as we know, to advertising and marketing. So he wrote a whole piece on it. Now, this is an example of something that would be, again, a little bit more of a hot topic, which plays very well in content marketing. You've heard me say it a couple of times. This is not necessarily controversial, but maybe it could be to some people, right? Depending on your point of view. However, other current events could be things like if you're in the SEO space, talking about an algorithm update, right? We have a post on our blog that talks about the page speed update, right? That's a current event that is just happening, and we're writing a response to that piece. We're giving advice, we're giving opinion, we're giving data on how to deal with that, right? So these are two kind of separate sides of the coin, but this is just an example of how you can take what's going on in the world and create content around it using data while also injecting your opinion and bolstering your argument. So number 9 on the list is what I call the engaging listicle. Now, a listicle to me is like what BuzzFeed pioneered like 10 years ago, right? Like top 25 hot dogs to eat at Coney Island, whatever like that, right? And I love this format because it flows very well. It lends very well for mobile readers who are just skimming, you know, very much like this piece here. You could skim this article or skim this video and see all the headlines. And this video is literally listicle, right? 10 things. I love this way of formatting content because, again, it's very engaging. It's very consumable, and it really can drive home the point. It just chunks the information together very well. So the example that I have here is an article that I wrote about how to go viral on LinkedIn. And basically what I did, very similar to this piece that I'm doing now, is, again, wrote a very good intro just talking about kind of like why LinkedIn, what's going on LinkedIn. And then I went into basically 9 different copywriting and storytelling methods to go through and to really get viral exposure on LinkedIn, right? And again, this is by far my most viewed video ever on YouTube. I think it's got over 350,000 views. This post ranked incredibly well in Google for like 3 years. This post is a couple years old now, drove by far away the lion's share of traffic. These types of articles just rank very well, again, because of the way the information is chunked, because of how easy it is to consume, and just the way it stands out in the SERPs, right? If you're searching for like LinkedIn tips, LinkedIn marketing tips, and you see like the complete guide to LinkedIn marketing, and then you see 9 ways to get more exposure on LinkedIn, it's been proven that the whenever there's a number or a listicle in the search engine results, it just drives more clicks. People just relate to it a lot more. They understand what they're getting from that, and they perform very, very well in search, also on social, also with ads. They just perform well everywhere. This is actually my favorite type of content. So whenever you're talking about multiple things, you can turn it into a listicle. I strongly recommend that you do that. And the final one that I have here is the properly formatted podcast. Now, this is a big one for me because podcasting is very important for B2B and any sort of lead gen or service-based companies, but inevitably people format this wrong and they either just do a podcast and just let it live on the podcast host, or they put it on their website with just an embed and they don't really format it that well. So again, I'm obviously very biased. This is our website, but what you see here is I took this podcast and we turned it into an actual value piece of content. We turned it into a listicle, 11 SEO tips to rank an immigration law firm website. So what we've done here is we've taken the podcast and literally turned it into a blog post. Why? Because people don't want to go to your website and listen to a podcast. People listen to podcasts on the go. They listen to it in their car, walking their dog. They don't listen to it when they're sitting on your website. So what we've done here is we've included the video, we've included the podcast version, and then we've given a call to action to go out and subscribe to the podcast. But then we've taken the content of that podcast and we've turned it into a long form, chunky, meaty blog post that will eventually rank for the keyword that we're targeting, right? So instead of just creating podcast content and just putting on your website as like show notes, which nobody wants to read, nobody's going to listen to, it's a complete waste of time and resources, turn it into a blog post, an actual blog post, format it properly, put some time into it, and actually take the information, the valuable information that you're talking about in your podcast, and formatting it into a properly formatted blog post. So that's all that I got. Those are the 10 examples of B2B content that absolutely crush it. Hopefully will help you to format and get better context for your content. If you need help with your content marketing, hit us up, webhurst.org. This is what we do. We do it in our sleep. We help all of our clients create better content that ranks better in search, but also is shareable and relatable and all the different things that we talked about here. So hit us up, webhurst.org. Hopefully we'll talk soon.